بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني وقولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear speaker, brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here in this blessed month of Ramadan. And this third day of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and from everyone who's fasting. May Allah make your fast easy and full of reward and full of khayr. And put it on the mizan of hasanat and the day of judgment. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. So we'll continue inshallah at the tafsir session of Surah Hud. We just finished up half of ayah number 6, and we're going to finish up the remaining half and go through this beautiful section within Surah Hud, inshallah ta'ala, which goes up to ayah number 12. So just to summarize what we talked about last time or yesterday, is that it's important to recognize our mistakes. So we see that the beginning of the surah pushes us and tells us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next ayah would tell us that people, they turn their chest away from Allah. And instead of doing that, they should recognize that Allah Ta'ala sees everything. He knows what we conceal and He knows what we reveal. So it's important that we recognize that we are people who make mistakes. And instead of blaming others or blaming someone else, we should, instead of running away from Allah, we should turn to Allah Ta'ala instead and run towards Him. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. We should trust Allah Ta'ala and turn to Him with our needs. As we saw in the first part of ayah number 6, that Allah Ta'ala says about people who tell themselves, I don't have time. You know, I don't have the ability to remember Allah Ta'ala like you're telling me to. So we see that the beginning of ayah number 6 says, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there's no animal which walks on the earth or any creature on the earth except that it's upon Allah, that Allah will provide for it. So when we turn to Allah Ta'ala with our ibadah, what we find is that Allah Ta'ala will take care of our worldly affairs. So these are the two big lessons from last time. Okay, so we want to continue from that ayah, which continues to this beautiful part. Okay, and I hope inshallah I'm making dua that I can explain it well enough for myself to benefit and for everyone to understand. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْضَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. The ayah continues. After talking about how Allah Ta'ala will provide for everyone's risk, He then informs that He knows when it's the place of stay for everything and the place of departure for everything. The mustaqar is the place where people stay, and mustawda' is the place where people depart from. كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything is in a clear book. What does this mean, right? Because we have this, and this is one of the more phenomenal places of the Quran. This ayah, the next one, are one of the most extraordinary places of the Quran. This expression, mustaqar and mustawda', what is its place of the stay and what is its place of departure? What is its coming and what is its going, right? This is what we're talking about here. Because obviously the place that you stay is the place that you come to. And the place that you depart from is the place that you're going from, right? So it's the coming and going of creatures and human beings. So what does this mean? We can take it in many different ways. I'm going to show you how the Mufassireen, the scholars of Tafsir, have generally understood this ayah. So I want to give you an understanding here. Every place we are in is a place of coming and a place of going. Every place that we are in is a place of coming and a place of going. What does that mean? Let's give some examples now. We were once with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was our place of stay. At the same time, we left. So it became our place of going. Similarly, what we find is that once we were in our mother's wombs, we were in the bellies of our mothers, and that was our mustaqar, our place of stay. And then we left as well. And so each and every single one of these places, Allah Ta'ala is telling us that He was responsible for caring for us and taking care of us wherever we were. So He knew how long we were going to stay there. And obviously when you have a guest, for example, you know that I have to get a little bit more to provide for my guests. And so the same way Allah Ta'ala says to us that I know how long you're going to be there and how long it will take you to leave, so that way I can prepare. And Allah Ta'ala says, basically, long story short, that I know exactly how much you need in every single place that you're in. So we were once in our mother's wombs, and then we left. What else? We find that we were once in our home countries, and then we left. We also find what? That every morning and evening we come and go. So Allah Ta'ala knows how much to provide us in the mornings, and Allah Ta'ala knows how much to provide us in the evenings. In the mornings, we require a certain type of sustenance, and in the evenings, we require different types of sustenance. And Allah Ta'ala says, upon me is all of these things. I'll take care of everything for you. We continue forward, that we find that we're constantly moving throughout life. In one moment, we stay. And that moment that we're in is a mustaqar. It's a place that we stay in for a brief instant, like a second.
And obviously a second only lasts a second, so then we move away from that second. So we're constantly moving through life as well. There's a stay and a go in life. And one day we will leave this world. If we're talking about what the Mufassirin had agreed upon and said that this is probably what the ayah is meaning, it's saying the mustaqar, the place that people will stay for some time, it is this world. Or mustawda, and the place that they will bid farewell to and go to ultimately is the hereafter. So this place that we're living in the world is a place of stay and a place of departure. It's an extraordinary phrase in the Quran that has so many interpretations. One day we will be in our graves. And if a person thought that they will remain in their graves forever, they'll stay in their graves forever, they're completely wrong. Because one day a person will raise from the graves and depart the graves as well. Everyone is on the move always. So the big question for human beings that Allah Ta'ala wants us to reflect on and to think about from this ayah is that how could anyone ever think that we were supposed to live here forever? In this short 80 years of life, the fact that we came from our mother's wombs, and before that we were somewhere else, how could anyone ever think that this life we're in is the final stage? That people will live this life and they'll do good deeds and no one's going to pay them for their good deeds. And people will live this life and they'll do terrible things to other human beings and the world in general. And no one will take them to task for these things. Did people really think that Allah would just let people live in this world and not have to pay a consequence for the fact that we lived here? The fact that we breathe in the oxygen for free, the fact that we drink water, the fact that we live here. Did people really think that the worst criminals in the world will get away? La ilaha illallah. Allah Ta'ala tells us that no one should ever think they'll live forever. Everyone's on the move. Everyone's on the move. So we're talking about there is one place where people will permanently stay. There is one place where people will always stay. And that is either in Jannah or Jahannam. And we have to ask Allah Ta'ala for protection from that. That we don't know where we're going to go. And so if we're talking about a place where people are going to retire, everyone talks about retirement. Everyone talks about living it well at the end of our lives. That's not the end of our lives. We've limited what our lives really are. We had a couple of stages before this, and this is another stage in our life. And we're going to go to another stage after this as well. We're just going to keep moving forward. So we're going to retire one day in this world, and then we're going to hit our graves. That's another retirement. And the ultimate retirement is where? Is in either in Jannah or in the other place where we ask Allah's protection from. So when it comes to Jannah, we're hoping that Allah puts us there. But we have to prepare for it. That's what the life is for. It's for that preparation for that area. And so if we're thinking about how many people that is, how many people have been on this earth? How many people are going to be on this earth? How many people are on this earth now? There's trillions upon trillions of people we're talking about. That's a lot of people. And there's a lot of creatures, right? The ayah said, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That every single creature Allah Ta'ala provides for. So we're talking about animals, we're talking about insects, we're talking about birds, we're talking about jinnat. You know, I never even counted the jinns. Maybe one of you guys have counted the jinns. I don't know how many jinns there are. There's a lot of them. There's tons and tons of creatures that Allah Ta'ala provides for. That's a lot of people. You'd wonder and you think that, man, that's just so much. Who can actually keep a track of that? So Allah Ta'ala clarifies at the end of the ayah so that no one has any doubt. Kullun fi kitabin mubin. Everything's in a clear book. There's no doubt about what Allah Ta'ala is doing. There's no doubt about how much Allah Ta'ala is providing for. To preserve tablet is one of the interpretations. The Allah Ta'ala says He has everyone's risk written down in a clear book. So on the day of judgment, when we see our totals, it's going to be a ajeeb day. Really, it's going to be a ajeeb day. What kind of day will it be? Allah Ta'ala will tell you that this is how many steps you took in your life. You know, we have like a step counter and we have like a dhikr counter, right? So we do zikr and we count like 100, maybe 1,000, maybe, you know, maybe 10,000, mashallah, for you really pious worshippers of Allah. And maybe we have a step counter because we want to see if we can lose weight. So we count the calories and everything. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala's exact measurements will be brought out and people will see that this is how many steps we took in our entire life. Can you imagine that? That every single breath that we took in, Allah Ta'ala will show you that this is the calculation. This is how many breaths of oxygen you had. This is how many times you breathed out. This is how many times you had food. This is how much chicken you ate. This is how much beef you ate. You know, everything will be calculated to such a fine degree. And it'll be on such precise measurements, wallahi. Allah Ta'ala will show us exactly what we've done. Every single good deed will be accounted for. And every single bad deed will be accounted for. We ask Allah that He doesn't take us to task so heavily, you know. But people will have that. They'll see on the day of judgment, be so amazed. That Allah Ta'ala will count the fact that you tied your shoes. And said, mashallah, this person tied their shoes so they can go to the masjid. And so then Allah Ta'ala will give that a good deed. And He'll reward you for it. Subhanallah, this deen is so great like that. People will say, man, I worked 9 to 5 for these brothers and sisters that are working so hard to provide their families. And say, man, I've been working so hard. Allah will give you a reward for it because you provided for your family. Everything is in this clear book. It's so manifest. And on the day of judgment, Allah will make it manifest for all of us to see that. And so that's one way of looking at it. But the clear book is the Quran. If you're talking about what is the Kitab Mubin, you know, we see in the Quran, it talks about itself as the Kitab Mubin. The clear book is the Quran, because the Quran will tell you, what do I do as a child? What do I do as an adolescent? What do I do as an adult? What do I do when I'm married? What do I do when I have a job? What do I do in this stage and that stage and this stage and that stage? Every single station of our life, Allah talks about in this book. So we're talking about what we need to do. Just open the Quran and you'll find your section. You'll find what you need. It literally has, I'm telling you, every time I look at it, I get amazed about what the Quran talks about. So this beautiful ayah number six, transitions to this question. Is that people could say, man, in this life, we're just coming and going. Why did Allah create the world like this? You know, why is it that the fact that we're here for a certain amount of time and then we're moving on? This question will come up in anyone's minds. And so the question of why did Allah create the world as coming and going, this question is actually addressed in the very next ayah. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَلَئِنْ قُلْتَ إِنَّكُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ لَيَقُولَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. It's a beautiful ayah. It's an extraordinary ayah. It says, He is the one who created the heavens and earth in 6 days, while His throne was on water. And I know the first part is very important. I'm going to come back to it. I want to first focus on the second half of the ayah, and then we'll come back to the first part, inshallah ta'ala. Because this part about the throne being on the water is very intriguing for me. I'm very amazed by this phrase. So we find this narration in Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, about how big the arsh of Allah ta'ala is. I just want everyone to understand this, because we got to get a perspective here. We really got to get a perspective here. So the فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَنْهُ that Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu أَنَّهُ سَأَلَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu said that he asked the Messenger السلام, about the Kursi. Everyone knows the Kursi, Ayatul Kursi. Is again, is this huge heavenly body that surrounds the heavens and the earth, right? وَسِعَ كُرْسِهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the arsh is something even greater than that. We'll see in this narration. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Walladhi nafsi biyadi," by Him in whose hand is my life, meaning that he's swearing by Allah. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, "I swear by Allah." Mas samawatu sab' wal arduna sab' 'inda al kursi illa ka halqatin mulqah bi ardi falat. The Prophet ﷺ says that the heavens and the earth, and the seven heavens and the seven earths, they are compared to the kursi like a ring that is thrown in a barren desert. It is like a ring thrown in the desert, meaning everything that we exist in, from the seven heavens and the seven earths, everything that is in existence, compared to the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is like a ring in the desert, subhanAllah. Imagine how great and how extraordinary is this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and says, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَرْشِ عَلَى الْكُرْسِ كَفَضْلِ الْفَلَاتِ عَلَى تِلْكَ الْحَلْقَةِ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the size or the virtue of the arsh compared to the kursi is like the virtue, is like the size of that desert compared to that ring. So in other words, if the fact that this heavens and earth, everything we're in, is so tiny compared to the kursi of Allah compared to the arsh of Allah is like a ring in the desert as well. This is huge, okay? It's a massive creation of Allah, yet at the same time, it's suspended over water, okay? It's suspended over water. So we're going to clarify something. The arsh is not what you're thinking about. Neither is the kursi what you're thinking about. Because we come from Indo-Pak region, our Desi continent, right? So what happens is what? We think the kursi is a chair. We think arsh is a throne. And so you're thinking about it in very human terms. You're thinking about a chair as a chair. You're thinking about arsh as a human throne. I'm telling you that whatever you're thinking about is not what Allah Ta'ala has, okay? Because whatever we have, Allah Ta'ala is beyond whatever the mind and the heart can ever comprehend, okay? Allah Ta'ala is beyond that. So His arsh and kursi are beyond that as well. And so there's a striking connection to the fact that maybe this water is also something very unique. It's not like water that we're talking about. So the arsh is not what you're thinking about. Neither is the kursi what you're thinking about. The arsh again is this huge, huge creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when the angels see it, they humble themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how big and massive is the arsh of Allah ta'ala. So what is it what I'm trying to tell you? Is that the sky that you see is raised without pillars. Okay, this is a massive sky that surrounds us. Yet you don't see any pillars holding it up. Allah Ta'ala made it min ghayri amadin tarawnaha, without any pillars that you can see. Similarly, what we find is that the universe is also floating. We could say then that the sky looks like it's floating on water, and the universe is also looking like it's floating on water. It's just all floating on this time-space fabric, right? This entire universe, if you're looking at how huge it is, how massive it is, these planetary bodies, these cosmos that surround us, these stars around us, right? Every single thing is like it's as if it's floating in some type of body that's just there, that's keeping it up, keeping it afloat, okay? So what are we trying to say is that the fact that you think that the creation of the universe is mind-boggling, The massive arsh that Allah Ta'ala has, this huge creation of Allah Ta'ala that He has, is also suspended over something that is so light. It's remarkable that the weight of Saturn, or the weight of Neptune, or the weight of Jupiter, right? All these planets that are so heavy, yet they're floating on something, you know? This is a miracle of the Quran, by the way. The fact that it talks about everything floating on some type of substance, right? Some scholars have taken it to mean that it's talking about gravity. Some scholars have taken it to mean the time-space continuum, whatever the fabric that is holding up the universe. Some scholars have taken it to mean this and that. You know, Allah Ta'ala knows what the arsh is really suspended on, but He described it like water for us to understand that what Allah can do is wondrous things. That upon water, which is so light and has no real substance, it can hold such massive things. This Allah who can take care of the entire universe, you think He can't take care of your problem? That man, I get my wife or my husband is not talking to me, not listening to me, or my children are not listening to me. Man, what am I supposed to do? You think Allah can't handle that problem? You think Allah can't handle your risk problem, your sustenance problem? Allah can do wondrous things here. He's told the entire universe over this water, and you're thinking that Allah can do something great for you? Allah gives us understanding. And some scholars have said, وَكَانَ عَرْشُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ أي وَكَانَ عَرْشُ عَنِ الْمَاءِ That He made the arsh from water because it's living. It's a live thing. It's a creation of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, we made every living thing from water. And ultimately Allah knows best. It might be something that when we die, we'll go and see this. That Allah Ta'ala says He created these seven heavens and earth in 6 days. Then He put the arsh over water. Why did He do it? Why did He do this? Why did He create all of creation? Why did He make it like this? Why did He make our life come in and going? The big question is why? And He answers it in this ayah. لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا He says, I created this entire universe. I created the seven heavens and the seven earths. I created the arshi azim. I put it up over water so that He can just test us and see what's best in actions. Can you imagine that? The universe that we live in, the fact that you and I are here, Allah Ta'ala says, you are the purpose as to why He made everything. Subhanallah. You know, people think they're so insignificant or so useless or worthless, or fact that they don't have any purpose in life. I'll tell you what, the fact that life exists is because of you. You are here, so Allah Ta'ala, that's why He made everything, okay? So remember this, that you are the one that Allah Ta'ala made the world for. He says, I created everything so He can test us to see who's the one who can do the best actions. That's what the world is for. It is a stage for all of us, okay? It's a stage for us to take the exam of life. The fact that we're here is just so that we have that ability to take this test. Take it as an honor from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now let's go back to the first part. That it took 6 days to perfect the world. Now you have to understand this, that Allah Ta'ala is Allah. We just talked about how great He is, how He can provide for every creature on the earth, how He provides for the blue whales, He provides for the ants, He provides for the birds, He provides for the humans, He provides for the jinns. He provides for everything. And so yet, He said He made the world in 6 days. Allah could have done this in a split second. He could have done it in a split second. He could have done it without any time whatsoever. The fact that it took Him 6 days to perfect the world, why is it that He's taking so long? Okay, so there's a couple of things that we need to understand. 6 days, because we know that a week is what? 7 days. The scholars have written that it's possible Allah Ta'ala says 6 days because He wants us to understand that there's one day remaining. The last day of all of creation is the day of judgment. So 6 days for the entire universe and the seventh day for Qiyamah. This is the end of the week. Another way of looking at it is, since a week is 7 days, the last day could mean when Allah Ta'ala placed human beings on earth, because we know for a fact now, the scientists are telling us the universe is 13.8 billion years old. It's been here for such a long time. It's taken this long to make it. And at the last moment of this universe, basically near the end, human beings come in very recently. We're talking about within the millions of years. Human beings have been here very recently, mashallah. So this is another indication about what we call the scientific wisdoms of the Quran. That Allah is indicating this. Now, mind you, a man in the desert, 7th century Arab, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is he indicating such things that we're finding out today? So this last day could mean when human beings are placed on the earth. There's a beautiful narration that I want everyone to understand and reflect on. The Nabi alayhi sallam says in Sahih Muslim that he tells Abu Hurairah, then narrates this. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi took my hand. He took hold of my hands. It said, Allah the exalted and glorious created the clay, meaning the earth, on Saturday. And He created the mountains on Sunday. And He created the trees on Monday. And He created the things in movement on Tuesday, meaning He put everything into motion on Tuesday. So the earth was created on Saturday. The mountains were created on Sunday. The trees were created on Monday. The things in movement were created on Tuesday. He created light on Wednesday. And He caused the animals to spread on Thursday. And He created Adam alayhi salam after Asr on Friday. Okay, this is why the scholars have said that the Mubarak time on Jumu'ah, to make dua, by the way, is that people normally think it's between the two khutbas, but it seems like from the narrations, and this narration in particular, seems like the blessed time to make dua during Jumu'ah is actually after Asr on Friday. And it makes sense because Allah Ta'ala puts barakah at the end of the day or the end of the night. For example, the best part of the night is the Tahajjud time, which is at the end of the night. Similarly, the best part of the day will be the last part of the day, which is Asr time. Allah Ta'ala knows best, of course. I encourage everyone to make dua at both times, between the two khutbas of Jumu'ah, and make dua at the Asr time as well, at the end of Friday. So the last creation at the last hour of the Fridays, i.e. between afternoon and night, and this hadith has another chain of transmission, of course, mashallah. So why did Allah Ta'ala tell us, why did He create in 6 days? There are a couple of reasons, again, we already spoke about. But one of the most striking things is that Allah Ta'ala is teaching mankind to take their time. Life is in stages. People forget this, they rush. Sometimes they jump so quickly into Islam, so they jump right out. People who take 100% of Islam will find they can't handle that. They need to take it in stages, take it in strides. Really, you know, life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Some people sprint through deen, and that's why we have difficulty. Look, in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala teaches you. He literally teaches you in Ramadan that, mashallah, you can see when shaitan's out of the picture. And the fact that our desires are in control because we're fasting, how great of a human being you can be. You can read Quran, you can do dhikr, right? You can do it. You can be a great person, mashallah. So you have to take your time though. Like, you have to develop slowly. Allah shows us in Ramadan our potential, like what we can be. So we need to know, as human beings, we gotta take our time. Don't rush. So some scholars have taken it like this. And this is interesting. They said Allah created the world in 6 days, i.e. six phases or stages. Stage one, in terms of our creation, is that we were souls. Stage two is that the fact that we were with our mothers. Right, so stage one is the fact that we're souls with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stage two is the fact that we're with our mothers. It gets even more ajeeb. Stage three is that we come to this world. So we find the third stage in our existence is in this world. Stage four is in our graves. Okay. Stage five is the day of judgment. And stage six is the final abode, meaning the either Jannah or Jahannam. So we can see the same way Allah that has created the world in six stages, the same way He's made human beings in six stages too. And we find this even within our own lives in this world. Infancy, early childhood, late childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and old age. Human beings are literally made in six stages as well. Allah Ta'ala knows best, again, why He mentioned it and what deep insights we can get into it. But you can see how deep the Quran speaks. We've only spoken about one ayah and it's already been so long, mashallah. And there's so much more we can share, but this is enough for us to think about and to ponder. That we should develop ourselves every Ramadan, inshallah. I tell myself that, alhamdulillah, I'm honored to get so many Ramadans in my life. This Ramadan should be better than the last one. We should take a little bit more steps, a little bit more efforts to reduce certain things. You know, people get a lot of depression, and most of our depression is located where? It's located in social media. It's the fact that we keep looking at Facebook and WhatsApp and Twitter and all these nonsense. We become twits by looking at Twitter. We don't know what's up by looking at WhatsApp. You know, we become so crazy. We become so weird by looking at TikTok, right? We're like a clock now. You know, so these types of things, we become nuts, man. Like, just leave these things and just work on positive change for ourselves. That's the point here. That's the goal of what we're talking about. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us the crux of everything of these two ayats, ayats number 6 and 7, is that we need to trust Allah. He created extraordinary things. The earth, the entire universe, the heavens and the earth in six phases. And He created the arsh, the great arsh of Allah Ta'ala over water. And He did it what? He did all this extraordinary, and He put it over water. And so it's for us to understand that He will care for us. He made us. I tell myself this as a reminder, because why? Because sometimes we feel like we're abandoned in the world. No one's there. No one's looking out for us. People have, mashallah, the backing of their mother and fathers. And their mothers and fathers care about them so much. Even when we don't call, they're thinking about us. One day our mothers and fathers will go. Maybe they've already gone. So we feel like there's no one else left for us in the world. Someday our teachers will go. There's no one else to look for us or care for us. Allah Ta'ala is still there. And He will be with us He's been with us in every stage of our life. When we were souls with Him, He provided for us. When we were in the wombs of our mothers for 9 months, He provided for us. And when we were in this world, He provided for us. And He will continue to provide for us. When we're in our graves, He will provide for us. In the hereafter, He will provide for us. He made us. How could you think He doesn't care about us? There's a narration which says that the earth and the heavens, we'll get to this narration in a second. The earth and the heavens and the oceans and the winds all say to Allah, Allah, this human being that you created on the earth, they're causing so much carnage and corruption and so much destruction. Ya Allah, allow us to destroy them. And so Allah Ta'ala tells the earth and the heavens and the winds and the oceans that لَوْ خَلَقْتُمُوهُمْ لَرَحِمْتُمُوهُمْ. If you had created them, you would have been nicer to them. You don't know how much I love them. So Allah Ta'ala says a hadith, it's a hadith Qudsi, it's a hadith which the Prophet narrates from Allah Ta'ala. And he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْفِقْ أُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكَ. This is the reliance you need to have on Allah. Allah says, spend, I will spend on you. Don't be scared of giving in sadaqah. Don't be scared of giving your money away to help the poor. Don't be scared to give it away. Because Allah Ta'ala says, if you spend from your limited treasures, I will spend from my unlimited treasures on you. And Nabi alayhi salam continues the narration and says, the hand of Allah is mal'ah, it's full. No spending decreases it. He is sahau layli wa nahar. Allah is generous by night and day. Then the Prophet tells us to think about something. He says, have you ever considered what he has been spending since he created the heavens and earth? None of it had decreased what Allah Ta'ala has at all. Subhanallah. Wa kana 'arshu 'ala al-ma'. This is why I think this hadith, the Prophet was thinking about this ayah. He says his throne was on the water, the kingdom of Allah. You know, a throne. Why is the point of the throne in the first place? Scholars have mentioned the fact that kings all have their thrones. And Allah is the greatest of all kings. Allah knows again, you know, exactly how the arsh looks and things like that. But the kingdom of Allah does not decrease from what's happening in the heavens and the earth. The arsh of Allah is separate from what's happening in the heavens and the earth. Nothing that Allah spends on in this creation will decrease what Allah has at all. The Prophet ﷺ kept this in mind and he told us this narration that don't be scared. This is so beautiful. It gives you so much control. Wallahi, it gives you so much control. That if you can just reflect on this, that you will never be scared about anything you spend on in life anymore. If you're that husband that, mashallah, it's like, man, I don't know if I should get this gift for my wife. You know, she's asking for this, but like, it's going to hurt my salary and my money. And you know, I just got the stimulus check. I'm hoping for a fourth stimulus check. I don't know if it'll happen. You know, Allah gave me the third one. Maybe won't give me the fourth one. We're so worried about all these things. Allah Ta'ala said, look, if you want to give a hadiyah, a gift to someone, don't worry. Allah says, you spend, I'll spend on you. You spend, I'll spend on you. It gives you so much control in your life. You don't have to worry about things. Non-Muslims are racking their brains. They're petrified and terrified about what's happening in the world. And you and I are just looking at it. Oh, it's Allah's command. It's Allah's will. If Allah wants, we'll live. If Allah wants, we'll go and become martyrs. And mashallah, we'll live beautifully in Jannah. We got nothing to worry about. It gives you so much control. When people say Islam is slavery, we say, no, Islam is true freedom. You are liberated by practicing Islam. You're liberated by becoming a true Muslim. May Allah grant us that understanding. Yet the most extraordinary thing, other than the heavens and the earth that we just talked about, and the beautiful miracles in between, the most extraordinary thing is actually the next part. When you start to tell people about how Allah will care for you, how Allah will provide for you, you tell this to people about what Islam can give someone, they go and say, "Wala in qulta innakum mab'uthuna min ba'di al-maut, la yaqulanna alladhina kafaru in hadha illa sihrun mubin." Okay, so it goes and says, that if you were to say that you will be raised after death, you start to tell people that, look, the purpose of this life is not this life. You only live a brief 70, 80 years in this life. You're going to go somewhere else. You tell the people who disbelieve this, you tell them this, that there's another life after this life. They'll go and say this is nothing but sheer magic. What is magic? It's fake. It's something you make. It's something you made up. So you are just, you know, when we speak about this to people, people think we're crazy. You know, I feel so bad. They legitimately think we're mad. You know, we're telling people that, my God, you're going to help these people and this and that. You're going to live life like this. You're going to absolutely become bankrupt. You're going to become like this and that. You know, like they tell us things like this, that you're just wowing people with words. There's nothing real to this. You're just saying things so that people can pass their time. You know, people say this about religions in general. You know, they think that we're deceiving people, that we're making people prepare for something that isn't really there. So they go and say, yeah, you're talking about this day of judgment, but is it really going to happen? You're just talking all this magic stuff. Is, you know, wasting time, blowing people's time and all these things. But I need you to understand this point here. There are legitimate fake religions in the world. There are legitimate fake religions in the world. And it's simple to break through each and every single one of them. If there is a religion that only has a single race in it, doesn't allow other races to convert into there, chances are that's not the real religion. If there's a religion that doesn't have a proper book that's been preserved, I'm 100% sure that if God was going to give you a message, they give you a message that is preserved, so that way you know exactly it's from God, right? If you have a religion that has a prophet who himself was a very dirty or disgusting guy, I don't think that's the right religion to be in, you know, quite honestly speaking. And I can comment on every single one of them here. I want you all to think about it, and that way you can come up with good answers for all of these religions. I'll let you know there are a lot of fake religions in the world. Islam is not one of those fake religions. It is the only true religion in the world. The religion from the time of Adam alayhi salam, with the defense, the Quran, that hasn't been changed and hasn't been challenged within the course of 1400 years. If anyone asks you, what is your proof that Islam is the truth? Say that this book that I memorized portions of, and this book that I have in my chest, and this book that I have on my shelf, is my proof that Islam is the truth. And this is my proof. Can you show me your Bible? Can you show me your Torah? And let's see what you have, and let's see what if it can compare to what we have in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a beautiful book of Allah that we spent 30 minutes talking about just two ayats in this book. Allah knows how much is there. And so another way of looking at this ayah is, they go and say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they tell him that you are a magician. In hada illa sahirun mubin. This is nothing but a clear magician. They're calling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam someone who's fake, who's wowing people with his words, who's manipulating the people, and he's faking everything that he's saying. Now imagine this, how much you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. As a Muslim, you can't see even a single thorn to prick the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine this, people who are telling the man who's the most truthful of the truthful, the most trustworthy of the people, and telling him that he's a liar. He's faking everything. This entire religion he's made is totally made up. And so imagine this, that feeling that we're having in our hearts, that how could you say this about my messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam? Now imagine this, in front of Allah, they're saying this. Allah that is recording every single word that they're saying. They should be destroyed for this. They should be destroyed for this. But then Allah Ta'ala says in the next ayah, which will continue inshallah Ta'ala tomorrow, وَلِنْ أَخَرْنَا عَنْهُ الْعَذَابِ لَأُمَّةٍ مَعْدُودَةٍ يَقُولُنَّ مَا يَحْبِسُ. They say that, and if we delay the punishment for them for a limited time, they'll say, what is holding it back? What we find is Allah's kindness and forbearance. You know, we're talking about people who curse Allah, people who disrespect Allah. You know, an atheist, right? A person who doesn't believe that Allah even exists. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala provides him food and drink, his oxygen, you know? People who would say Allah has a partner, Allah has a wife, Allah has thousands of gods with him. Allah provides for every single person. Allah's so kind. Imagine someone was making fun of you and disrespecting you. Would you ever want to care for them? Allah's so kind and so patient with them. He says, no, give them some life. Maybe they'll accept Islam. You know, subhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala reminds us that, you know, these people here, Allah Ta'ala is giving them chances as well. I remind myself, for everyone here, every Muslim that's listening, and maybe any non-Muslims that are listening, that Allah Ta'ala is so kind to us. He wants us just to practice Islam so that we benefit ourselves. Allah takes no benefit in Islam, that we benefit greatly from Islam, whereas Allah doesn't receive anything from it. May Allah Ta'ala make us true Muslims and benefit from the Quran, inshallah, in Ramadan, and allow us to obtain the beautiful rewards of Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll continue ayah number 8 to 12, inshallah, tomorrow, inshallah. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.